Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Today's video is brought to you by Predictable Revenue's service LinkedIn Outbound. Find out how we can leverage and grow your existing LinkedIn network to book meetings into your calendar at the link below.
You spend a lot of time working with your marketing team to come up with a great top of funnel strategy. And when you find something that works, it's a total relief. But sometimes making a profit on one individual strategy is actually less important than switching it up a little. And if you're not trying new innovative ideas to get people into the funnel, you're losing out on valuable leads. I'm your host, Sarah Hicks. And on today's episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast, I'm going to be chatting to an expert about how to diversify your top of funnel and add a figure in revenue. He's a travel and nature enthusiast. In his spare time, you can find him hiking through Mount Fuji or booking his next adventure. And when he's back in the concrete jungle, he is hard at work driving ROI for brands through his paid advertising techniques or through the airwaves on his Digital Marketing Fast Lane podcast. Kevin Urrutia, welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you for having me, Sarah.
Yeah, so excited to have you on. This is a really interesting conversation that we're going to have. And Kevin, you kind of started out in this world. You and Wilson founded Voy Media in 2016. So you guys partner with entrepreneurs seen on Shark Tank, as well as Fortune 500 companies to create addictive brands and substantially increase their online revenue. So before we get into tactics, tell me about the journey to starting Voy Media.
Yeah, so we started Voy Media in 2016. So Wilson and I, we were like doing e-commerce brands ourselves. So I had my cleaning company back then. We were doing online marketing, you know, SEO, Facebook ads. And then Wilson had his other company that was selling hammocks online. And Wilson was doing a lot of like Facebook ads, Amazon ads. And at that point I was like, oh, Wilson, like, I think it'd be like a great idea if we maybe did an agency, because like me and Wilson were just in Silicon Valley. We had tons of startups, tons of ideas. And by this point, we're like, what, 20, at least I was like 20, 27. I was just like, there's no possible way that I can do every idea. And I think starting an agency, we get access to a lot of founders that we can potentially help and sort of see how later on they might be a person that we want to invest in, or at least have the network or connection with. And that's really where we started Voy Media as a way to help other founders, because we thought we had insights into what we were doing previously, but also we thought that like potentially we wanted to become investors. We have access to a lot of business models, and we can get basically what you're getting is data and insights for yourself that you can potentially then later on use for your partners or other people that you work with. But that's really kind of like why Voy Media started it. But then at the same time, we thought Voy Media would be a great way for us to work with founders, because we have pure e-commerce experience. We know what works. We're selling our own products. We're producing our own stuff. And then we can really come and help them besides just the paid marketing stuff or just marketing in general, because we've seen firsthand where it's not just social, paid social. It's everything else that's involved in building a business. And that's where we wanted to come in and really think about how can we help founders there. Yeah, so like I was like talking to Wilson about this weekend. So we were looking back some of the stuff we built. We built this company called Madeline Rosa, which is like on-demand flower delivery in San Francisco. And for us, it was just like, okay, great, let's build this product that we think is cool. And then people are just magically going to find us. And we thought like we put a website online, and then we shared it on Twitter and Facebook at that time was really big. People would just like randomly come. So we built it all. And then like, we're just like, oh, okay, no one's coming. Maybe it's a bad website. And then we built like another website. The next website we built back in the day was called like Radii, which is like a local service company. And even then we're just like, okay, cool. Like this is a cool product. Maybe people will find it somehow. And again, like we won it at like a startup competition, but it didn't go anywhere because there was no sort of marketing or sort of building or expertise after that. And I think in the beginning I was like that because I grew up with like this whole like tech sort of knowledge of like, hey, like if people build a cool product and you have a cool tech company, people are just going to naturally find it. And that's sort of like the narrative that I believed, because that's sort of what I was reading about. And then I realized that like, I think people now, they're like, oh my God, if I get on TechCrunch, I'm going to have so many users, right? And it's like, nah, like you get a spike of users, but those people are just probably looking at your stuff. They don't actually care about your product. And right. I think that's the biggest difference is like, you need to find customers that care about your product or service versus just like the eyeballs that just like read it online. Of course, getting on those publications helps with everything else. And I tell people like, yeah, you want to get on those websites because then you can use that proof to for your marketing to actually get customers that say like, hey, this isn't a thing that's a scam or isn't a real thing. It's sort of like, now I see why that's important. But before I thought that was the important thing, but it turned out not to be. So that's kind of where we sort of eventually realized that we need to learn marketing. And really for me is when I started Maid Sailors, the cleaning company, that was purely like marketing, because cleaning is like commoditized business. There's so many cleaning companies out there. How do you distinguish yourself out from everybody else? And at that time, this was in 5 years ago, at that time, 2015, what was really new out there is like local SEO just for sort of coming out, like Google Maps. You know how like Google Maps, you find like little businesses now? Back then, that was a new thing where if you typed in like cleaning, you would see the local businesses. So I always tell people like, if you see something new, it's really sometimes great to leverage that, because no one was at that time, no one was really like promoting it. No one was like, was using it that much. And it was a great sort of way to get traffic. And even you see it now, like Google Maps and Google Local is like a big thing. And there's so many tips on how to optimize it. And even now you can tell it's big when there's no like Google ads on it. Now you look for like food, it's like ads, and then the organic listings.
So true. Yeah.
So like when you have like pure organic traffic, it's the best. Like remember Instagram back in the day when you would post something and everybody would see it. Now you have to boost everything. So like, that's when you know that like the good old days are gone, because they're capitalizing on the traffic. So even for just in general, like now TikTok is a great channel because you can post something, you get so much organic boost because TikTok, the platforms, they know like people feed into like views and likes. So get them addicted to the platform, and then, hey, like
further down the line, they can ratchet it back and
exactly. Okay, cool. Not that many likes. Okay. They got to pay for the likes. Yeah. Every platform is like that. So like you always, at least with anything, like you, especially when you're bootstrapped, it's like, look at this platform and see where can you take advantage where they're not charging people money for it, because that's gives you sort of thing. Like Google Local will still do that. And another, at least for local businesses, Yelp is still pretty big for us too. And of course, if you look at Yelp now, like it's almost all pay to play, which is like so crazy. And so, yeah.
Right. So that kind of fits into one of these kind of particular types of ways that you fill the funnel. And now I think is a great time to kind of share that with our listeners. So your focus at Voy Media is to be the catalyst for business growth. So you're helping brands cross the threshold from 6 to 7 figures in revenue to from 7 to 8 figures in revenue. So let's break down some of those tactics, of course, including the ones that you just mentioned, of how you get people into that funnel. So we'll kind of go break it down step by step. So tell me first of all about the kind of pure inbound top of funnel.
Yeah. So I'll talk about a little bit kind of how we think about it here for like Voy Media and how we get sort of these leads or sort of these partners and sort of how we then translate it to their business. So for us, a lot about inbound, and going back to what I said before, a lot of it's SEO. We think that SEO is a great traffic driver for brands or even for just in general. And we do that with Chester, the luggage company that we own. But for Voy Media here, when we're doing inbound traffic, we think about it as searching on a tool like Ahrefs. I think Ahrefs.com is like a great SEO tool where you can find keywords that people want to find, find keywords that people are searching for, and then write an article or topic about that. I talked to a lot of founders and they're just like, oh, I want to write about this topic. And I'm like, okay, did you search the keyword volume? And they're like, I don't know what that is. I'm like, okay, that's your first like mistake. You need to figure out like, are people actually searching for this product or service or topic? And how are they searching for it? Because sometimes founders want to believe their own story and be like, this is how people are saying. I'm like, I'm literally go on Google. Like people are literally saying it another way. Like, I don't know how to like argue with you, but like, like I don't want to argue, but like literally the way you're saying it, no one's searching it for that way. It's like your own sort of reality. But so for me, it's always keyword focus. I tell people like, find keywords are ranking. So for something that we rank for and something that we know has like a lot of intent. So some of the articles that we write about, at least for Voy Media here, are like summer email subject lines. People are looking for subject lines for the summer. And even in our traffic, we'll see spikes during holidays because we rank for like almost every holiday for like a subject lines, like St. Patrick's Day email subject lines. So like literally the week before, you'll see like a huge spike in traffic, and you like for each holiday, which is kind of funny, that shows you like people are up to like a week before just like planning their email campaigns. So we do that. We also do like spring sale subject lines, other things just relevant to your business, right? So we're ranked for like best Facebook ad creatives. So people are looking for ad creatives for their Facebook ads, which is exactly what we do. So we want to show some of the creatives that we've done. And then obviously in there with the content marketing, you have some sort of offer, some sort of book now, call us to sort of help you with this. And then the way for that is just think about how that applies to your sort of business or like e-commerce product, for example. Another one for us is like Facebook ad image sizes. People always want to look like what are the latest sizes for that. Another thing that we do here for Web Media is like podcast marketing, you know, kind of what we're doing right now. Podcast is a great inbound channel. Like you could sort of, at least for us, the way we think about it is going back, everything I do is really thinking about SEO. So our podcast, like what you said before, it's called Digital Marketing Fastlane. And the reason why is because digital marketing is the most searched keyword for digital marketing. So I said, okay, I know that Apple Podcast is essentially a search engine. So what are people searching for? Digital marketing. So people search, if my podcast name is Digital Marketing Fastlane.
So actually put it in the name.
Yeah. So then.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's why like, I'm like, that's why it's called that. I'm like, literally, I was like, okay, I know I want digital marketing. And now I just need to think of a word right after. And I was like, Fastlane. Okay. People like things fast. So that's the next one. Yeah. I always tell people SEO is like, you can use SEO in everything. Like people are searching for things everywhere. Same thing with like Google Maps. So my company is called Maid Sailors because people look for maids. So maid. And then you always add like a random word. Like people just, I'm like, just add a random word. Like it's just like, yeah. So that's what I think about it there. And again, podcast, I think, is just great. And also with any of these channels, it needs to make sense. I love podcast marketing and sort of that for great inbound for Void Media because I love podcasting and I listen to a lot of podcasts. So I know how I like them and I like being on them because they're just fun for me. Another one that I do too for inbound marketing is think about inbound marketing as another company that does really well. You probably know like HubSpot. Mm-hmm. HubSpot. So they do like, I forgot what they call it. They call it like tech as marketing, where they build like tech tools, kind of like, I'm not sure if you like Googled like email signature creator. HubSpot is like the number one for that, where they'll, like if you want to create an email signature for your like company, you can put in your name, like, you know, Kevin Arruti at Void Media, and then like the email. And for HubSpot, that's just another contact in their CRM. So then they'll upsell you other services. So
it's like a mini tool.
Yeah, mini tool. Yeah, exactly. Like mini tools for marketing. I forgot what there's a name. It's like tech as marketing or something like that.
We'll
right?
find it later.
Yeah. But for us, so what we did, so my background and Wilson's background is software design and product design. So what we did is we worked with a lot of e-commerce founders that use Shopify. So what we saw was a lot of Shopify owners didn't really know a lot of their core metrics, such as CLTV, average order rate, average lifetime value. So we created an app called Metrics Box, Sales Analytics. And that's a Shopify app that we developed in-house that we then put it on the Shopify app store, and then e-commerce owners download it and use it. And the reason why we like it is because we then get access to tons of founders through just our free app. And then we can offer them, hey, by the way, like it looks like you're scaling up. Do you want help with your campaigns? And then using that as a way for insights into other stores, into founders, and saying like, hey, look, you're using a free tool. You probably want to work with us because we built it. So we kind of know like how to, you know, scale you up. Cause like these are metrics that we care about too. Right. So,
interesting.
So like I said, I always tell people like think about your sort of background, your expertise, and see how you can use that to leverage. And again, we just recently wrote a book. So that's another inbound thing too. So another thing that we do for inbound marketing is private Facebook groups. I'm not sure if a lot of people are in them. And the reason why I tell them they're such a good thing to do now, because even Facebook itself is advertising these groups on like TV channels, on subways here in New York City. So you know, it's kind of what I was saying before. It's a place where they're really promoting heavily. And the great thing about them at this moment is that they don't have any ads in them. So, and also they're kind of like back in the day when you had a page, when you would post something, everybody would see it. And that makes the visibility so great. And it gives you so much power because, and I also really like about Facebook groups too, is that if you're an admin moderator, you have that admin or moderator title. So it's inherently gives you like a sense of power, or people are like, oh, this person is a moderator, an admin. They must know a little bit more than me. So whatever they post is going to be good, or they're good at whatever they're doing. So it's kind of like the psychological marketing trick, or like, when you know, like someone's a director versus like not a director. It's like, oh my God, he's a director.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's like, but it's like, you talk to them, it's like, do they know more than me? I don't know. It's the title that says it, but yeah. But it's that sort of, it's like just marketing tricks, right? So for that one, I really love Facebook groups. It's a form of inbound marketing. And the reason why I like it too is because Facebook promotes them internally. And if you go past a certain threshold, you just show up more and then you just get natural people joining your group. Mm-hmm. And the great thing about groups too is that you can ask a question. So we always tell people like, hey, what's your email? Right? And then that puts them into our email funnel now. So yeah. Then that's another great way. And then again, we just share tips, tactics. We share stuff that's working, results. Another one that we do too is like we reach out to bloggers and YouTubers. This is great for Chester. So for Chester, the luggage company, we do this a lot. YouTubers, bloggers, they love reviewing product. And if you have a product that makes sense for them, they will write a review for you. And that's for us, for Chester, we also have a referral program where if someone refers a sale, they'll get a commission. And you try to make, I always tell people like, you want to make the commit, if you want to get the sale on your website, especially if you're doing e-commerce, and we know that the biggest competitor out there for e-commerce is Amazon. Amazon has the world's biggest affiliate program. And the affiliate commission fees are public for anybody to see. So what you want to do is don't go less than Amazon, because why would they ever sell on your store? Yeah. You want to go double or triple what Amazon's selling, saying. That way you can get that person to give you that sale on your website. Because remember, the sale on your website is going to be more important than Amazon, because now you get their email address, and then you get where they live, and then you can keep sending them remarketing materials. But that just means that you just basically can't be cheap, and you can't just like not offer them a good commission.
Right.
And then, like I said, we also do that for Voy Media too. We're reaching out to bloggers just to write about us or review us, or even when we're doing content marketing to post our articles. Another great thing I tell people to do for inbound marketing, and this sort of ties into with how we're doing like YouTube reviews, is just get your customers on the phone and put it on a YouTube. That's another great form of inbound marketing because, for example, I always tell people like, no matter what product or service you have, the second most searched term, this goes back to like SEO, is going to be your product or service name reviews. So Think about any product, Maytailers, that's our brand name. The second most searched term is Maytailers reviews. Chester, Chester Luggage, Chester Luggage reviews. It's always that no matter what you're doing. So you really going back to where you say you want to control that. If you know that people are searching for reviews, make sure that the people you're contacting you put that sort of keyword in their blog post or YouTube title, because then you can show up. And then we just tell people, hey, put that keyword in your thing. People are, sometimes they're scared to ask. I'm like, I tell people now, like, you're going to put that, like, this is what you want. Like, so, that's another thing tip, but yeah, those are some inbound tips, you know, that we
awesome. Kind of, you know, and yeah. All of these kind of specifically with SEO and kind of making yourself kind of apparent in Facebook groups, getting yourself on these videos with the, or the blogs with the YouTubers, all of that kind of thing, all helps you take control of your company narrative in the online space. So tell me about the importance of kind of having that control.
Yeah, I think the importance of having that control is that at least for your brand or service, you don't want to leave it up to, I tell people like, you don't want to leave it up to chance about what someone else writes about you. Why? Like, if you can really go reach out to a blogger and tell them to write a review about you, why not make it a positive review? And if they, a lot of times people like say like, oh, what if I send them the product and they don't like it? I mean, I've had that before happen to Chester a lot of times. You know what happens? People just say, hey, I don't really like the product. I'm not going to write something bad about it. Because now they feel like indebted to you. It's kind of like reciprocity. They're like, oh, you gave me for free. I don't really want to give you something bad. It's just marketing. But if you didn't give it the product to them for free and they bought it and they're pissed off, you know, for a fact, they're going to write a review about it. So I tell people like, you better take the chance and get the review and then tell you you're not going to write about it. Then they get a pissed off review because that's going to be more emotionally charged than a random one that, you know, potentially happened. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So for those of you listening right now, we're just going to do a quick recap of all of the different kind of top of funnel there. It was quite a lot to take in. So yeah. I want to make sure that you guys, you know, take your notes or press pause and do whatever you got to do to retain it all. So under the kind of overall umbrella of inbound, number one biggest thing is SEO. So making sure that you're putting those keywords into any of your kind of content on your website, all of that stuff. And make sure, as Kevin mentioned, that you actually look up what the keywords are that people are using, because obviously we have our own kind of internal company terminology and we think that that's what people are looking for, when in reality it may not be. Different things you want to kind of focus on is your specific subject lines, specific to different offerings you have, or specific to the time of year, the season, anything like that. the CTA in an ad. So kind of playing around with that, how you pull people in there, ad image sizes was something that Kevin mentioned is kind of something that they've been playing around and testing. Podcasts. Podcasts are a huge one. And again, going back to that SEO, call your podcast something that people are already searching for. Seems like a no-brainer, but honestly, my mind is blown. Are you telling me that? It totally makes sense, and I don't understand why we don't do that. But so that's a good one. Jot that down. And another one was creating mini tools or apps that are sort of a catch-all for the clients that you're actually looking to, or the prospects that you're looking to kind of bring on. So giving them something for free, a little tool like HubSpot's email signature generator, or like the app that Kevin and Wilson created there, that then gives you the opportunity to know who's on your app or who's using your tool, and then have the potential to upsell them. From there, we went on to private Facebook groups. So these are a pretty underused channel at the moment, and they haven't yet got sucked into that kind of Facebook algorithm. So there's no ads on the Facebook groups. You get high visibility with the Facebook groups, and especially if you're an admin or a moderator on these groups, you have some kind of authority in posting. So use these groups to share value with the types of prospects that you want to have, let them engage. Throw up a CTA like, what's your email? And then that creates an email funnel for you there. Next, we want to reach out to bloggers and YouTubers to get them to review your stuff or to mention your stuff, anything like that. You want to get referrals from them and create some kind of affiliate program that's worth their while. So you want to, for instance, in e-commerce, you got to rival Amazon. And finally, a big part of controlling your company narrative in the online space is the reviews. So you want to take a chance, give your product for free to somebody who's going to leave you a review. If they don't like it, they probably won't even leave a review. But if they do like it, they'll definitely leave you a good one. Yep. Cool. So something else that you guys specialize in is video. So tell us how you use video to generate leads.
Yeah. So one thing that we do here is like, we do kind of what we call like video funnels or, you know, video case studies essentially. And really with video, the best thing that we do for us is like a video webinar funnel. They're so, obviously you've probably seen a lot of them, and people there for us, they still work really well. And the reason why, at least for us, when we do them, it goes back to kind of how we do that. We really want to do like in-depth case study trainings about accounts that are working well or tactics that are working well, at least for Facebook. And for us, it's getting people to opt in using like their email and using a nice catchy headline about what they're going to learn. And then we don't do any sort of like, when we do webinars, we don't do like live webinars. We just say like, hey, on a thank you page, you're going to get that sort of case study there. And then from there, the way we sort of structure them is the ones that we like to do are where we'll take popular brands in like the D2C space, direct to consumer space, and sort of study and analyze them and show people how they're doing well, why they're doing well, and analyze everything from landing pages to product pages, to ads, to creatives, to video creatives, and also to the emails they're doing. So usually for us, they're about 40 to 60 minutes long, and just like so value packed. And that's why those work really well. And then we'll share screen and show everything. And then on that sort of thank you page, what we'll do is have a CTA, right? And we'll take them to some sort of like a quiz funnel there. The quiz funnel is really now someone wants to work with us because they've seen the 40 to 60 minute video. We will then ask them like, okay, what's your budget? What type of business are you? How many team members you have? Kind of like really question them like about 20 questions. And then from there, we'll take you to a thank you page. On that other thank you page, it will be a calendar where they can book a call with us to sort of talk to us even more. And then from there, that will go to our Slack. We'll get a notification. Mm-hmm. And then internally, then we'll like also qualify them in Slack because we use another plugin that's like takes their information and sort of like just tells us, hey, this is a good fit, bad fit, or terrible fit, right? Nice. Obviously, as any sort of leads, you want to, like you don't want like bad leads. So then you want to qualify them. But even the quiz really helps with that as well. That's kind of the way we think about it. And then that also goes to another thank you page that gives them like another video about why you should work with us and then goes from there. But that's kind of how we do videos. And then when I say videos too, to generate leads, we also use videos when we're recording testimonials from partners. So when someone reaches out to me for the inbound, I will then say, hey, great. We'd love to work with you, blah, 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 blah. By the way, here are some partner testimonials and videos that you can check out. That way they can see someone on our team talking to a real partner, because I mean, you probably know, like anybody can write a testimonial, like a text, but video, it's like, okay, hey, like, what is your title at the company? It's like, okay, great. I'm the CEO, founder. That helps us a lot because then they could see that like we're actually helping them. And I think if you have great results and great case studies, you want to get that transformation on video. And because video is such a powerful tool, and it just makes more sense now with everybody being online. It's like so much, so easy to get a partner on a call to just talk to them. So those are some ways that we use video.
That's definitely true. I can see how a video testimonial or case study, it proves that it actually worked and you didn't write that case study and just kind of have them sign off on it. Definitely. I could see how that would add credibility there. And just going back to the webinar funnel and to play devil's advocate a little bit, when you're doing these, the quiz at the end of, you know, when they're registering for the webinar content, do you find that you lose people kind of through that process? Cause 20 questions to me seems like a lot, but I'm not the expert you are.
Yeah. It seems like a lot too, but the questions are just very basic questions. They're not like, hey, like how big is your team? How much money are you spending? Very simple one-liners. That's just like getting them through the process. Like, okay, what's your title at the company? What's your email? What's your first name? What are you looking for specifically? It's like multiple choice questions, not like typing. So they just like quickly can show through. But yes, of course, you definitely get people that drop off for sure. But then that's also why you make a lot of the questions like optional. So the questions that are really like important are going to be like, what's your email? What's your phone? And then everything else is like optional. And then of course, that's why they can book a call immediately, but then you still look at the information and it's like, okay, well, they didn't fill out like 20, like 18 questions. Like it's going to be a waste of my time. So
like, totally
it's sort of like, I think like as a, sometimes a business owner, it's like, if you really want to work at the company and it makes sense, like you're going to fill it out. And plus like you as a person, you want to get as much trust and credibility built up so that it can work with you. Because at least for us, when we're working with like the top business owners that have really great companies, they don't mind sharing some of this stuff. For a lot of like the people, honestly, it's so funny. The people that are so scared to share the revenue numbers are companies that are doing like less than 10K. I'm like, and then I'm like, why? Like, why? Yeah. But the company's doing hundreds of like thousands a month. They're like, oh, hey, yeah, this is my revenue. Like, let me know if you can work with me because I want you to take me to the next million.
Right.
So, but it's like so funny. It's happened. I'm like, it's like, well, I'm not going to sign an NDA for like, your company just started last week. I'm not going to sign an NDA. I'm just like, I'm like, Jesus Christ. Okay. Like, okay. You're probably not going to be a fit for us because it doesn't make sense.
Sure. Yeah. There has to be that kind of mutual trust. And you're right. If they are genuinely interested in it, they're going to answer those questions, or at least most of them,
most of the ones
they see that would apply. Makes sense. Cool. So what are your tips for our listeners who are out there making video content? How can they make really engaging video content?
I think for making really engaging video content, what we like to call it here is like entertainment plus education, like, or like edutainment, right? And really what that means for us is like having like a 10x energy on camera. And something that we've noticed here is like when you're on camera, you kind of get like a little bit dulled out. And also a lot of times what we've noticed too is, I guess like kind of like I'm here. Like I just tell people like, show your personality. Like, hey, this is who I am. Like okay, if you like me or don't like me, how I talk, what I look like, that's it. Like I can't change any of that. So I always tell people just be yourself, you know, you make them laugh, chuckle, or even say something controversial, like show something that you're a real person. Like, I mean, I think everybody's been on videos are just like, the person's just like monotone talking, like do hand gestures, movements. Like this is how I talk. So it's like, I just people just be yourself because, that's what's going to show your personality. And then like, even for me, when I tell people like, listen to my videos, watch my podcast, listen to who I talk. Cause then when I get on a call with you, you know how I sound. It's not like, whoa, like Kevin, how come you're so different? Like, but like, that's how I am. Right. So, so that's kind of why I think about it is it's like really just be yourself, let your personality shine. I think a lot of people sometimes are scared to just be like, oh my God, what if like for me at least, and that's the way, the reason why I say that is because I was like a few years ago, I was also very scared to be like, oh my God, people are going to judge me. And then I went to a coach and I did this type of stuff. And he's just like, Kevin, like your fear probably comes from the way you look, the way you think. Like, it's probably not the way you're speaking. You probably think you're probably afraid of how people are going to perceive you, but like, there's nothing you can change. This is how you look. You're like 27, 28 years old now. Like you can't change. Right.
I'm
like,
you're not growing. You're not a growing boy anymore, Kevin.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just like, hey, this is how I am. And that's it. And he's just like, just get over that. And that's once you sort of fear that, get over that fear, you'll be fine. I'm like, oh yeah, cool. Like,
yeah. And definitely it's easier said than done. And I know for a lot of like content creators, at the beginning, like you're saying, there does feel like this kind of block because this is super unnatural. Like I'm sitting in my bedroom with like stuff stacked around me, adjusted so that you guys can hopefully like not see the clutter that's here. And I'm trying to have this like, you know, engaging conversation with somebody that is literally on the other side of the continent. So it does take a bit of getting used to. Luckily, I come from a performance background, in theater. So for me, I had a bit of a leg up in that way. But I know Colin, our CEO, co-founder, who he hosts a lot of these podcasts as well and webinars and all that kind of stuff. He asked me for a couple of tips. And one thing that helped him, and I think is actually a pretty helpful kind of simple way to think about it, is each point that you're trying to express or each thing you're trying to tell the listeners, tell it as if it is like the most exciting thing that has ever been shared. So you've got to like add inflection and passion to your voice. And if you're passionate about it, it's exciting to hear. I could be talking about the dust that's on my floor. My carpet is so grubby. And then that's exciting. Whereas, you know, if you're you could be talking about, I don't know, some crazy invention, SpaceX, Elon Musk thing. And if you're talking about it in monotone, it's absolutely boring.
And exactly. I mean, like I always tell people like sales is just a transfer of energy. Like if you're excited, they're going to be excited too. And I think like you probably know, we've all been on sales where the person's not excited and then you just feel your energy drain. You're like, oh my God, they're not excited. So why should I be excited? But then when they're excited, it's like, you just feed off it. And it's like, oh my God, it's just so good. Let's just keep going. You definitely should work together. And it's like, okay, let's go.
Just become friends.
It just makes sense.
Those of you listening right now, as Kevin said, kind of that 10x energy, even though if you're making a webinar or something, you're probably just looking at your computer. Think about it as that transfer of energy to your audience, wherever they may be. Really up that energy. Might be a little bit hard at first, but seriously, it'll make it makes you feel more comfortable too at a certain point.
It does. And also like, it's also a good tip for like when you're writing like a newsletter or like copy, some of the best copywriters, if you look at it, like the first sentence is like, this is the most important email I'll probably send this week. And it's like every week is the most important. It's the same thing. Like they do a variation of it. I'm like, okay, it's like a keep. This is the most important webinar I've been to. This is the most important conference that I've been to. Like you see that keyword because like they want to make sure like, oh, whoa, like this is so important for them. I want to be, it's going to be important for me too. So yeah.
So interesting. Yeah. So give us an example of some kind of top of funnel activity that you guys have done that you think is kind of creative or a little bit outside of the norm.
Yeah. So one of the funnels that we're doing right now is what we call like a free plus shipping funnel for the book that we just came out, coming out with. So we made a book called Digital Marketing Made Easy. Same thing going back to SEO. We put digital marketing because like we know that Amazon is a big search engine too. So we want to rank for that. And the reason, how we're doing this funnel is like this, is we take people to a landing page. On the landing page is kind of like a form where they can order the book. But of course we have like sales copy and a video on top of it where we just show the book or show images of the book. And then basically we say, hey, look, the book's free. All you do is got to pay for shipping. And the shipping is $9.99. And how that works is, if you think about it sort of like just a COGS point of view, is the book costs us about $6.63 to make using Amazon KDP. And that's all, that's just print on demand. So we only print the book when someone buys the order. And then it's about $3 or so to ship it. So it's about $10 in order for us to sort of do it. So we're hoping to get our customer acquisition cost of $10 in order to get that email list, but also get customers to know about Way Media and know about us, the authors. That way later on, they can eventually come work with us or, you know, maybe work for us or something like that. Right. But another thing that you want to be doing here, because like, you really want to be capitalizing on this sort of traffic that you're essentially going to Facebook to get. So what we do is on that thank you page, we then have another upsell. The upsell is now another $9.99 PDF of like a 30-week e-commerce roadmap. So that way, and the reason how that works is like if you use something like Stripe.com to process payments, is whenever you input your credit card information, you get like a tokenized version of the card. The tokenized version of the card allows you to recharge the card again. And in like half hour, an hour, you have like a time limit. So then once you get that offer, the upsell on the thank you page, you can automatically charge the card again without having to them type in the information again. That's worked really well because really what the upsells that work great are, these are the two ones that we've seen that work the best. Another version of your same product at a discount. So if you have a luggage, for example, sell that same luggage again at 10% cheaper because they already bought it the first time. So psychologically, they're already committed to the product. So just say, okay, cool, buy another one now. And that works. That's probably the best upsell ever. Hmm. Another one is, how can you achieve that result quicker? People want things fast. So for example, with the book is going to teach you how to do it. But then now saying, hey, look, with this sort of PDF, we're going to lay down the exact steps for you to achieve this faster. So that's sort of way we think about upsells. And using it like this is great, because I think it works better than even like a front end offer, where like you have like an order bump. Order bumps work well too, but like this, at least you capture that first initial charge, and then
yeah,
second one's just a thank you. Does that make sense? Huh.
Yeah, totally. Okay. Makes sense. That's really interesting. And you mentioned that you're kind of, obviously there's like a larger cost to the book being printed than there is for that shipping, and you're kind of hoping to maybe break even on it. And we mentioned at the top of this podcast that sometimes it's actually really important to just break even on a strategy. It actually doesn't need to bring in profit. So tell me about why it's okay if you only break even on a particular.
I think it's so important to even just like only break even, because the reason why is because now you got a customer into your ecosystem to learn about you, to know who you are. And then you can also, at least emails, I always tell people email is probably the most important asset for any sort of digital company. If you think about any sort of company that gets bought out or purchased, it's usually because they want it for their customer base, right? A lot of these big companies, like, I don't know, for example, look at Instagram, like Facebook can build out Instagram in like a month, but what do? They bought them out because they had the customer base. They're not buying the actual technology. I mean, Facebook copies any company they want in the world, right? Yeah. But they want the customers, they want the email list. And for you, that's why that's so important for you, for any digital asset that you have when you want to sell it. People really care, okay, how many customers do you have and how many times have you sold to them? Because they want to see what that lifetime value of a customer is. So for us, it's about getting them into our system. And then, hey, by the way, we also had a podcast. Listen to our podcast. Oh, by the way, we also have our Facebook group. Join our Facebook group. Oh, follow us on Twitter. Basically, keep showing them your content, because what happens all the time is, even like just this today, I had someone saying, hey, Kevin, I'm in your Facebook group. We're like a pharmaceutical company in Australia. We'll love to get on a call. They just see you all the time, and then it just makes your inbound easier. And going back to what we said before, they've seen me on my podcast, the book. They know how I sound. Now it's like, okay, great. Like, how do we get started working together? Now it's like, okay, now you can actually qualify them and see like, do you want to work with them? Where I know in the beginning, with any sort of business, you're kind of like struggling to get customers, but at a certain point, save some of the money that you make from, you know, in the beginning, and then use that as a way to, you know, advertise your products or services. Obviously, it's like a long-term type of thing. It's not like sometimes you see the ROI instantly, but that's sort of the way we think about it and why that's so important for us.
Right. And I think that kind of encompasses everything that we've been talking about today. The most important thing is to have that really diverse top of funnel, because as you mentioned, somebody comes in through one particular funnel and they don't go all the way. They don't continue through. They like sign up for the newsletter. They join a Facebook group. They watch one episode of the podcast. But as you kind of hit them from all these different points, they've got this kind of more and more clear or more and more robust picture of you and what you guys do. And at a certain point in their kind of journey across this top of funnel, something will stick. And so in kind of diversifying that top of funnel, you give yourself or the company more kind of at-bats or more opportunities to attract different types of people. Some people just may not be interested in a Facebook group, but you catch that guy through the webinar. So as long as it's kind of like casting a wide net, but absolutely being strategic in each of the kind of points in that net.
Yeah. And another thing too, is that like for us, like when we do our podcast, we now do like video versions of it too, because now we can go on YouTube. And so it's like, a lot of times you're doing this already. Like just sort of think about how can you apply to different channels. For the book, we have the book. The book's like over 500 pages. How can we read that now? How can we read a book chapter as like an episode segment? And then also do, so it's like a lot of the times it's like you have this content already. Just sort of think about how you can sort of put it elsewhere, because like kind of what you said before, someone might not want to read the book, but they like the audio version of it.
Yeah. That absolutely makes sense. Yeah. Cool. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for explaining all of these amazing ways to diversify that top of funnel. If people wanted to learn more about all of these different ways that they can do the same thing, of course, the first stop that they should be going to is that book. And so they can find that on Amazon. We'll make sure to share that link. But if they want to speak to you, is there a resource or a book or other than your own that you'd point them towards, or where can they learn more?
Yeah. So I would say like something that's a really good book that's helped me think about this. It's called .com Secrets. The book sounds very spammy, like .com Secrets, but it's probably like, I tell people like, trust me, it's a good book. It's really good book. I there's so many tactics on there that talks about funnel building, web landing page building. I think it's a great book. And if you're thinking about another sort of tactic or thing that you should be doing, is let's say you want to really like have an e-commerce business or something like that. I say people sometimes really like to look at these like VC funded companies as a way for inspiration. Mm-hmm. I say like you shouldn't look at those because usually those companies have a lot of money, and when they're acquiring customers, they're just spending money through the roof. I really think that if you're a founder that's bootstrapped, look for top bootstrap companies because those companies are actually doing stuff that's going to make them money versus spend money on high customer acquisition costs. As a bootstrap company, you know, everybody knows that cash flow is king. So you just can't possibly spend this high CACs and not get any money back. So look at whoever is in your space that's bootstrapped and see how they're acquiring customers profitably, because it's the founder's money. So that's another number one tactic I tell people is just like look at companies in your space that aren't VC funded. And of course, because VC funded companies operate very differently and they like don't make money for like a long time, which is their business model. But if you don't have that war chest, that you can't do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, great. If people want to learn more from you learn more about Voy Media, where can they do that?
So voymedia.com, that's our website, but also we have our ebook, that's our physical book and ebook called Digital Marketing Made Easy. That's on Amazon. Or just Kevin at Voy Media is another great place to just email me and talk to me.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Kevin. This was so interesting. Love to chat to somebody else who's like pumped about doing podcasts and stuff. Yeah, really awesome. I'm sure our listeners got incredible value from that. Looking forward to seeing what you and Voy Media do next.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Sarah, for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Shout out to Predictable Revenues, Service LinkedIn Outbound, Service for sponsoring this video. As a founder and sales leader myself, I know most of the best practices in terms of like what I need to be doing on LinkedIn. But sometimes I just don't have the time. You know what the right things to do are, but it comes down to a trade-off of where's my time better spent? And can I find somebody to click around on LinkedIn for me and book meetings, you know, and then I can focus on higher level activities. And so think about it. What's the best use of your time? If you're a founder, sales leader, and you have a team, you need some meetings, I'd encourage you to check it out. I'm using it myself. I'm obviously the founder, so eating our own dog food. But if you're curious, click the link below to learn more.